If this Saturday you come to the church and you go into the fellowship hall, you will see it full of stuff, old stuff that belonged to people in this congregation. You will see appliances, you will see knickknacks, you will see clothing that at some point it had some value to you, and now you've chosen to give it to the church to help raise money for two very good causes, Amira and Young Life. And thank you in advance for your donations. I think it'd be fun to play a little game when you come in, as you look at the stuff, to guess who it belonged to. Who would own a blender like that? Or especially looking at the clothes, seeing the different styles, the different sizes, and just kind of wonder, I wonder who in this congregation wore those pants at some point in their life. If you see men's capris or silk shirts, I promise it's not me. That men's romper, it was totally a joke. Someone else put my name in, I swear. That never belonged to me. But isn't it funny that you've gone through all these different styles and sizes in your life? And it's amazing how quickly styles come and go, and sometimes how quickly sizes come and go. But the one constant in all of the clothes that you've worn, the one constant in your entire life, is that it's actually been the same body. It may have changed shape and size, but you have had the same body your entire life, unless you want to get technical and realize that you are shedding skin cells at a rate so that your entire body is actually replaced every 7 years, but that's super technical, and it's the same body. It is the same body, and we think sometimes when we think about the afterlife, I can't wait to get rid of this body. I've had it through all of these changes, and it'll be so nice to be rid of it. We've been talking about the Christian teaching about the resurrection. The teaching is that this body that you have now, you will have in the afterlife. And we intuitively know that. When a loved one we have passes away, sometimes we say things like, well, they're no longer with us. We see the body, but we say, that's not them. They are somewhere else. But we treat the body with some special kind of respect. We don't just discard it. As we mourn and as we bury it, we continue to acknowledge that body is sacred, that body has some special meaning. And as Christians, as we look at what Scripture says, we realize that body was not just a temporary housing for the soul. It wasn't just a container that we used while we were on this earth and we won't need anymore. The Bible says that the body that we have on earth will one day be brought back to life again, and we will have it in the resurrection, in the afterlife. And the Bible teaches this all the way through. This is a quote from Job, thousands of years before Jesus. He's suffering from this terrible skin condition where he just cannot get relief from the itching and the pain. And he says this, "After my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God." As awful as his experience is in the body, he realizes that even in the afterlife, he will have some type of body. And so if you say, well, I don't really like my body, I cannot wait to get rid of it, I don't like the size of my stomach's big and my arms are skinny and my thighs don't touch, something like that, I can't wait to get rid of this body, you're starting to get a sense of the reality of the future. If you start to say, well, there are things I don't like about my body, why do I have to keep it? Then you're halfway there. You're starting to understand what the resurrection is all about. There's a question as the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 describes the resurrection, where people start saying, that cannot be true because there's no way that these bodies can last in eternity. That cannot be true because these bodies do not have the capacity to exist in heaven. They don't believe the resurrection because they start to realize that the bodies that they have now simply are not made for eternity. So Paul answers their question. He answers it by saying, we do not know exactly what our body is going to be like there, but we know that it is out of this world. I often want compliment my wife by saying, did you buy that outfit from NASA, not from the Bahamas, the city in the Bahamas. Did you buy it from NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space something? Yeah. Because you look out of this world. And that's She's in the nursery right now, so you can use that later. She's not in the nursery. Okay. You look out of the, is that from NASA? God is going to give us this body that is out of this world, that is beyond our imagination. And he says it's just like when you plant a seed in the ground, you could never predict, if you didn't have any prior experience, what that seed is going to produce. It is beyond our imagination. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 37, he says, and what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, into each kind of seed its own body. Here's a picture of a grain of wheat. If you took that grain of wheat and you showed it to somebody and said, someday this is going to be something else, guess what it's going to be? Could anyone have an idea that this is what it's going to produce? It is extremely much, much greater than what is the original. And how much more so this tiny acorn? You say, I'm going to put this in the ground. Just wait 100 years and see what this thing is going to do. Who could guess that it's going to produce an amazing tree like that? We would have no way of knowing, if we didn't have some sort of prior experience, that it was going to produce something that much greater. And so there were people, as they heard about the resurrection, who got this idea that when a body is buried in the ground, that it was just sort of being preserved there in the ground, as if the ground was some sort of holding tank for it, so that then once the time came for the resurrection, that body would just come back to life. That is what happened with Jesus' friend Lazarus. He was buried in the ground for 3 days, and then Jesus comes, Jesus calls out, and he comes out in the same body. That was not ultimately a resurrection. It was a picture of the resurrection, but the resurrection will be so much greater. God is going to give a body that is infinitely greater than the one that is planted in the ground. And this is what it comes down to. We don't know exactly what it's going to be like, but we know the one who is going to give that body. And the greatness of that body is limited only by the creativity of God. Our creative God can give us whatever kind of body he wants to give us, and it is going to be a body that is out of this world. We worship an incredibly creative God. We know that simply by looking at creation. Look at the diversity in creation of the bodies that God has created. He says in verse 39, "Not all flesh is the same. There's one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish." God has created bodies that walk on two legs. He's created bodies that walk on four paws. He's created bodies that are able to breathe underwater. We have only begun to understand all of the different bodies in this world that God created in the original creation. And not just the bodies of living things, but bodies, he says, that are up in the heavens. Heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. But the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, the glory of the earthly is of another. There have been, most of us believe, people on the moon. I don't want to make any judgments about that. I believe people have been to the moon, and they brought back rocks from the moon. And the composition of those rocks is different than what we have here on this earth. And there are so many planets and moons that we haven't explored. And God has created all of those things. He is a creative God. And not just created sort of one type and repeated it over and over again, but created them with different degrees of radiance and of glory. 41, "There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory." His point is that not only has God created a diverse types of bodies, God has created diversity within those very types. So take, for example, birds. God not only created, that's not a bird. animals. We're in animals right now. God not only created mice, but God created giraffes. Those are incredibly different. And then birds, God not only created the little sparrow, but God also created an ostrich. So just in the number of birds, they are massively different. And that is true of people as well. I've told you this before. This is important to your spiritual life. The same God that created Danny DeVito also created Shaquille O'Neal. What more evidence do we need that we worship a creative God, that God has created all kinds of types of bodies? Not one of us is exactly like the other. How amazing is that? And that means that when we think about what our bodies are going to be like, when God calls out, renews the heavens and the earth, and renews our bodies, there is going to be more diversity and creativity than we could possibly ever imagine. It is going to blow our minds. It is going to be out of this world. We worship an incredibly creative God who is going to give us renewed bodies that are beyond our imagination. When God created in Genesis chapter 1, he started by creating kingdoms. So he created the spaces or areas, the theological word kingdom. So what God first creates is the heavens. So there's something called the heavens and the earth. And then God separates the waters so that there becomes something called the sea. And then God creates the dry land. Those are the first 3 days of creation. Then he spends the next 3 days filling those kingdoms, filling those spaces with kings and queens, people and creatures to rule them. So he fills the heavens with the sun and the moon and the stars. And then God fills the seas with sea creatures, fish and other animals that can live in the waters. And then on the sixth day, he fills the land with animals and ultimately with people. And God fills his creation with creatures who are perfectly suited for those environments. The sun and the moon and the stars belong up in the heavens. Animals that have gills and can breathe underwater belong in the sea. And animals that need air to breathe and human beings belong on earth. God perfectly suited each of his creatures for that those places that they were created for. And he says, in the same way, the new body that we receive in the resurrection will be perfectly suited for the renewed earth when God unites heaven and earth. Verse 42. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. When Paul talks about a natural body, he's talking about a body that is the same thing we mean like all natural, like there's no genetically modified organisms in it. And we know that that is better for us. But we also know that those things tend to decay a lot faster. So your organic fruit goes bad faster than the genetically modified fruit. And so you buy things that are all natural, you better eat them quickly because they are prone to decay. He says the same is true. If our bodies are all natural, then they are prone to decay. They are perishable bodies. He says that the natural body is sown in, and get the words right, is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. You ever see a picture of yourself from several years ago and you think, wow, I looked really young then, and maybe it's like 2 years ago, and you're like, I can't believe how much I've changed. But if you had looked at a picture at that time, from 5 years earlier, you would have said, I can't believe how much I've changed in the last 5 years or whatever. We look at it, and we it's amazing how much our bodies are changing. And we never think, or we rarely think to ourselves, wow, I look so much better than I did 2 years ago or 5 years ago. We look at a picture and we think, wow, I used to look really good, even though at that time you probably didn't think you looked good. The point is that we're not, in our eyes, getting prettier or handsomer. We're not getting better looking. There's a particular, although in some ways we are, but in terms of earthly, I don't want to offend anyone here. You guys are out of this world. He's saying that we are progressing in a certain direction. But our new body, the body that God gives to us, is going to progress in the opposite direction. So that when we immediately receive this body, we're going to say, I'm out of this world. But when we look at a picture of ourselves 5 years later from that day, we're going to say, wow, I looked terrible back then. I look amazing today. In another 1,000 years, and we're going to say to ourselves, I cannot believe how terrible we looked back then. We are just stunning. And we are just going to get more and more beautiful, more and more glorious. It is, we cannot even fathom what that is like. The same way we're going to get stronger and stronger. In verse 23, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. There is a certain point in our life where we peak in our strength. And I remember my dad getting cards that said he was over the hill and wondering what that meant. And when we say you're over the hill, we're often being generous with that and saying, you know, like in your 40s or 50s or something, you're getting over the hill. But really, like by the time you're 27, you reached your climax of power and strength and endurance. And everything down there generally is pretty downhill in terms of our physical abilities. We get weaker and weaker as we progress. But with our new bodies, the body that God gives to us, we are going to get stronger and stronger. So your first day in your resurrected body, you're going to be amazed at how powerful you are and how much energy you have. And in 1,000 years, you're going to look back and you're going to say, I was like an infant back then. I've only gotten stronger and more energy since that day. You can't even imagine the infinite possibilities of what our bodies are going to be like. But we worship a creative God who has promised us to give us a body that is out of this world. We see sometimes in human beings glimpses of the potential that we have in these bodies. Maybe you saw the movie Rain Man. Maybe you've heard about the actual person that was based on is a guy named Kim Peek. He died like 5 years ago. This amazing man. He could open up a book. He could look at a page for 10 seconds, each page with each eye, flip the page 10 more seconds, flip the page. He could read an entire book and remember over 98% of it. Over 10,000 books he had stored in his brain. He knew what had happened for the last 2,000 years of history. So ask him what day of the week was September 2nd, 492. He will tell you the day of the week. And if something important happened, he will tell you what happened on that day. He has this phenomenal mind. There are other people who can hear a complex piece of classical music and just sit down and be able to play it, some of them with no musical training. There are people who can remember the weather, what they ate, and what their favorite TV personality wore on every single day of their life. There are people who give us these glimpses of our potential that God has created us with. But most of us, I can't remember what we had for supper last night or what we wore yesterday. There was a movie in 2011 called Limitless. And in this movie, Bradley Cooper is a struggling writer who's offered a pill that will unlock 100% of his brain. And so he takes this pill and suddenly he understands math. He can learn a language by just reading a book. He finishes his book in 4 days. He invests $12,000 and comes out with millions after like 10 days because he has unlocked the potential of his brain. And all of that, I believe, all of that potential is there, but obviously we can't access it through taking a pill. And this is the ageless human temptation, that by ingesting something, we will unlock these godlike powers. That is exactly what was presented to Adam and Eve in the garden. Just eat from this fruit, and you will be like God. You will reach your unlimited potential. But they found that not only did that open their eyes, but it also came with a price. And that was the price of death. To be like God for us limited human beings is impossible unless it's a gift that God offers to us. So he gives us his son, Jesus Christ, who lived the perfect life that we were designed to live, but unable to accomplish. And he lived that life, and then he died the death that we deserve to die. He paid that price for us. And then he offers to us this incredible life, not as something that we earn, not as something that we steal, but as a gift from him. Jesus Christ said that if you love your life so much on this earth that you're unwilling to let it go, then you will lose it in the end. But he says, if you're willing to lose your life, if you're willing to give up all that you think is important and give it to him, he gives you your life back as a gift. He says, if you want to follow him, then give up your life, take up your cross, and follow him. And he will give you a gift that is so much greater than you could ever earn. This discussion began in verse 36 when he says, "You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life until it dies." He says, "You foolish person," he's not insulting anyone. He's saying, you are thinking in ways that does not incorporate God's power. You are thinking in ways that does not calculate the creativity of God. But if you trust that God is loving, if you trust that God is powerful, you will then give yourself to him. And he will give you something much greater than you could ever possibly imagine. Those bodies that we receive in the resurrection will be similar to the body that Jesus had in his own resurrection. Verse 49, "Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust," meaning Adam, "we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven." Jesus Christ, on the third day after giving his life, was raised from the dead in a physical body, a body that could be touched, a body that could eat, a body that could be recognized, and a body that bore the scars that he received on this earth. But it was also a supernatural body. A body that could go through locked doors, a body that could appear and disappear, that wasn't limited to space like these bodies that we have. And that was just the beginning of understanding what kind of body Jesus had. This is an advertisement for a computer in 1994. So the Compaq LTE 5000 for just $2,899 in 1994 dollars, you could have this amazing computer with a 10-inch screen and over half of a gig of hard drive storage. So this was the most amazing thing that they could imagine at that point in time, just over 20 years ago. Like, this was futuristic when this advertisement came out. Maybe the word terabyte was invented, but there's no way that they thought that was going to be applied to a computer. They just could not imagine what we have now. And it's only been 20 years. Can you imagine how amazing our bodies are going to be? Based on the way, how complex they are, how diverse they are now, what we're able to do, just imagine, just on that first day of the resurrection, how incredible they're going to be. And that is only going to get better. You are only going to continue achieving greater and greater feats throughout eternity. And here's really the most amazing thing. Not only are you going to be beautiful, not only are you going to be strong, but also, like Jesus, you are going to be loving. You are going to be increasingly more and more loving. You're going to look back after 1,000 years on eternity, and you're going to say, wow, I was so impatient that first day. I was so selfish, even though you didn't have a single selfish thought, even though all you did on that day was serve other people. We are going to somehow grow and mature throughout eternity and become better and better people, more and more like Jesus Christ. Jesus is never going to change. He already is perfect. But we will continually have an increased capacity to understand how amazing and wonderful Jesus is. And so throughout eternity, not only will we be growing, but we will be growing in our comprehension of Jesus' amazing greatness and splendor and glory. We don't know exactly what those bodies are going to be like. We really almost have no idea of what they're going to be like. But we know that they're going to come from our creative God. We know that they are going to be out of this world. We know that God has promised us that they are going to be beyond anything we can imagine here on earth. We cannot wait to see what our creative God is going to give us in that resurrection. Amen.